really good to be back with you this morning. Our scripture is out of 1 Corinthians. I don't know if you guys are used to grabbing pew Bibles, but if you'd like to, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. And as a special treat, we have some guest readers also, Shannon, Lindsay, and Katie. And they're going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Go ahead and take it away. Hear now the word of the Lord.
The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit.
Now the body is made up of one, not of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be?
As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but then its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. And thank you, readers. Appreciate it. I have such wonderful, fond memories having grown up in this church. And there's a few things that I wish I had done that I had memories of. Things like throwing paper airplanes off a balcony or, you know, taping a paper mustache to some of these stained glass saints. And, well, I shouldn't give Josh Martin any more ideas, so I'll stop right there. But I'll tell you what I do remember. And what I remember most about this place are the people. People that had a profound impact on my life, especially in high school. People that come to mind are Patsy Cooper, who has this knack for getting insecure high school guys to memorize lines and do a drama for Jesus in front of their high school group, in front of their friends and their crushes. And people like Dan Barrows, who were a generation of older men in my life, who at Wednesday night Bible studies you could go to with issues personal or just about sports. And then there was guys like Donald Norman, longtime friends of mine, who even at that age showed seeds of wisdom that carry through to now. This was a great place to learn about the parts of the body of Christ, the church, and how they have a profound impact on people. And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage that we have today. Paul's speaking, probably as you've heard, to a struggling church in Corinth, regular Joe Schmo Christians who have some crazy sins and some really sensational things going on. And one of the biggest issues he takes with them is about their disunity. You see, they were aligning themselves with different teachers or different apostles, some of whom Paul even calls super apostles, like Wonder Woman Priscilla or the Green Hulk Apollos. People are saying, "I'm with that person," or "that's my superhero." And he's saying it shouldn't be so. This is a body. In fact, that's why he talks about a body here. He employs this metaphor that they would understand. How is it they're supposed to be together? And why are they meant to be together? He wants to talk to them about their unity in Christ. This sermon is probably one that you've heard before from this very pulpit, I don't know, 100 times. But I'd like to challenge us today. Are we willing to hear it for the first time? Do we have ears to hear, as Jesus says? Could it be that this passage today, that the Lord wants to speak a fresh word into your life, into the life of First Press, as we enter kind of a new chapter and a new season here at church? This is a sermon for people who totally know what their gifts are and are operating in their gifts day in and day out and are probably feeling lonely and frustrated because they look around and they feel like they're the only ones doing it. And this is a sermon for people who have no idea what their gifts are. And you're in process and you're wondering, where do I fit here? Do I fit here? And this is a sermon for people who frankly know what their gifts are and have been pretty content, like I find myself a lot of the time, to sit and attend, but never really to take part. This is a sermon for all of us today. Do we have a sense of urgency when it comes to this passage? Or is it nice to have Jameson back and we can go on to lunch? I want to challenge you. Don't let that be so. Don't let that be so. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul has two main points for us today, and I'll probably add a third before we're done just to round it out like a nice Presbyterian sermon. But Paul has two points for you today about Christian community and about how it is we are to live together and why. And his two main points are this, and I'll just give them to you up front. The first point is that you are a part of the church. You are a vital part of the church. You play a role. And his second point is that together we are one body. Something he calls the body of Christ, the guy that was, you know, dead and resurrected and he lives, our risen Lord. We somehow together are Christ's body assembled here, like right now. So we're going to ponder that reality too. It's really fitting that Jeremy chose this passage in a summer series about building Christian community. And one of the first things I saw in this passage, and just in a passing note, is that building Christian community is something God does. I just want to turn your attention real quick to a verse like 13. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And a verse like 18. God arranges the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. Building Christian community is something that's already been done. God's done it right here. And he's done it right there in the Corinthian church. What Paul wants them to see is, how should they then act? How then should they live as the body of Christ that they are? Another place where I learned about the importance of the body of Christ is where I currently work. It's Youth for Christ, just down the street. And YFC is like, it's this long-standing 65-year-old ministry that had Billy Graham as its first full-time staff member. And it's got this really, like, big goal, biblical goal. We want every youth in Fresno, well, the world for that matter, to know Jesus. How about that? And so I came right out of, you know, college, gung-ho for doing ministry, and let's reach them. I'll tell you what, one of the first things I learned is that I cannot reach every youth alone. I can't. I mean, I'm not even that cool to begin with, but, you know, there's really a limit to my coolness and the kinds of things that I know and don't know. Not to mention, there's just a limit to how many people you can have that kind of a relationship with. So how is it then that Youth for Christ will reach its goal of every kid having the opportunity to know Jesus? And what about your coworkers, your family members? How is it that people will come to know Jesus? Paul has a word for the Corinthian church, and he has a word for First Press, and he has a word for you and for me. And the first part to his answer, like I said, goes like this, and it starts in 14 and goes through 20, is that you play a role, that each of you is a part of the body. Look no further than the right and the left. I'm reminded of Becca Hansen's watercolors and Joni Martin's quilts, of Kaylin's beautiful voice, which to me just speaks of all the talented musicians that we've had even this morning. We've had sermons that I remember just hit me right where I was at in the pew. These are all vibrant parts of the body of Christ here. Paul is going to talk about the diversity of the gifts in the body of Christ and how important it is to have different gifts in 14 through 20. But if you're like me, you've probably felt pretty insecure in your giftedness. Where do I fit in this body? Well, that reminds me of my friend Tatiana, because that's how she felt. She's an immigrant from Ukraine. She came over in high school and she learned English literally first day at McLean High School. Well, she didn't learn all of English first day, but that's where it started. You know, she shows up knowing no English, and here's her road, McLean High School. Goes on to graduate, ends up going to Fresno State, studying sociology, has to do community service hours with at-risk youth. So she calls me up at Youth for Christ. Can I work with kids at McLean? I say, come on back, let's do this. So we spent 3 weeks at McLean, you know, dusting off old maps, showing kids the difference between Ukraine and Russia, or what used to be the difference between Ukraine and Russia. and just her just learning names, you know, group of girls, learning names. Well, 3 weeks come by, and I call her up, Tatiana. I'm sick. You're going to have to lead club today. She says, seriously? I said, you'll be fine. As I thought, like, no, I hope she'll be fine. I'm not. She'll be fine. I mean, she's a Christian. So she should be able to dust off those Bible study skills and do her thing. And I hung up the phone, not knowing. I'd have a week to think about. How did it go with her broken English? Was she prepared? Were her worries that the kids wouldn't accept her, did that come true or not? I kind of feared that all I would get was this torrent of Ukrainian thrown my way when we met back up. You know, to her credit, though, what I love about Tatiana is she's courageous, right? She learned English at McLean, coming from Ukraine. That's amazing. So this, she's willing to throw herself in and say, Lord, use me. I don't know. And Paul's going to say, hey, you can't have an inferiority complex about your giftedness because you belong here. You belong here by baptism. You belong here because God wants you here. Therefore, you belong. He's affirming our giftedness and our diversity as Ukrainian Bible study leaders and as hip elders getting kids doing dramas for Jesus. But still, we kind of look at ourselves and we think, I'm kind of weird. I don't have gifts. I'm not Jeremy. I'm not Lana. Like, where do I fit? And that's when I think about the student leaders I work with because, well, no, like, I'm sorry if I say this and this pertains to you, but they're kind of weird. My student leaders. I work with high school students and we do ministry on campus and stuff. And each one of them has a little quirk, but which makes them, I think, really cool. A guy like Pablo. This kid is a natural-born evangelist. He was just born with the gift of evangelism. He would love to sit, or he does sit, at bus stops because he has a captive audience where he can tell people about Jesus. He's the kind of guy that will be wearing a three-piece suit on TV, leading people to Jesus, and I'll be sending him money, you know, calling 1-800-Pablo. That's my kid, Pablo. And there's Anthony, who aspires in life to be a champion at a card game called Yu-Gi-Oh! And he wants to have a popular YouTube channel devoted to a cartoon I have never seen. But this kid will spend time with other kids who are just like that as he invites them to the club we lead at Sunnyside. And there's Marissa. She's a natural administrator. And she'll call me before the time when I'm supposed to speak and then on the day of. And it makes for a really well-oiled club. And then there's people like shy and quiet Elizabeth who faithfully invite their friends. In fact, Elizabeth always invited her friend May, who I want to tell you about later. These parts of the body that Paul is talking about in these verses, they're really important parts. It's not a body unless you have eyes and ears and nose. Otherwise, where would your sense of sight be? Your sense of hearing? Later, Paul will say, should all preach? Should all teach? Should all do miracles? Should all heal? Like, no, because that would be a really strange body. Be a really strange body. My friends, you have a role to play here at First Presbyterian Church. You belong. Eccentricities and all. You belong. Did you know that? Do you know what your giftedness is? Have you taken the time to find out? And if you know your gift, have you been using it? Or have you been opting yourself out, saying, well, I'm not a hand, therefore I don't belong. Or I'm not a foot, therefore I don't belong. Not so, says Paul, you do belong. His second point, after he makes sure that we know we're a part of the body and that our diversity is really important, he goes on to talk about how together we are one church. And this is in the next section, in verses 20 through 26. And he says it like this. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. One body. Our unity supersedes our diversity. Therefore, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, what kind of body would this be if the parts just started jettisoning one another, saying, I don't need you? Well, just imagine, an eye says to another eye, I don't like you anymore because something between us smells. Or a nose gets jealous of a foot. Well, I won't finish that one, but... So if you didn't like that joke, you can blame Randy White. And if you're like my mom, then you'll probably think joke making is not his spiritual gift, which is fine. You see, Paul's going to say, hey, you can't have an inferiority complex about your giftedness, but neither can you have a superiority complex about your giftedness. You can't look at the other parts of the body and devalue them and say, well, that's weak sauce, as my kids might say. You can't say, I'm the only person that matters because I'm preaching, or I'm playing music, or I'm the most important person here because I do sound, or I've been doing youth ministry for so many years. You can't look at the other parts of the body and say they don't matter. And Paul is painstaking about saying, don't you get it? Just like a body, you clothe some parts, you don't clothe other parts, but at the end of the day, you need every part. Every part's important. The parts that we think are weaker, he calls indispensable. Indispensable. All the parts are important. Not everybody's going to preach like Jeremy, as I am demonstrating. Just kidding. Okay. So, he wants us to know, how are we to be together and why, right? So in light of everything he's saying, how is it we are to be together as a church? What will bind us in unity? Look what he says here in 24 and 25. I just want to turn your attention there. He says that God has combined the members of the body in the 25 so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. How will we become unified? Well, first of all, no divisions and equal concern for one another. No divisions and equal concern. Paul's in this section about spiritual gifts. If you look at chapter 12, spiritual gifts, it's an issue that just might fuel the Corinthian one-upsmanship about aligning themselves with this guy or this charismatic person. He says, no, we're a body. He's going to lead them through this metaphor into chapter 13, all about love. He's winding up to say, hey, you got to know your gifts are important. I want you to know that. But there's something I call the most excellent way, says Paul, the way of love. What will bind us together? Love, equal concern, and unity. No divisions in the body. Which makes me think, how are we doing at that? Because it's unavoidable. In a population this size, some of us voted for Obama and some of us didn't. Some of us like guitars and some of us like organ. Some of us like real grass. And some of us like the fake stuff outside. Search your heart. Are there people in here that you've been kind of willing to just kind of ignore for a while? Or maybe even somebody in here that you hate for one reason or another. Paul says, how you doing? A no divisions and equal concern. What a great test of love. Do we just put up with people? Or are we active in our participation and in love in one another's lives? How are we doing? Two radical truths about Christian community. Well, three if you count the fact that God has already built us into a Christian community, but I'll stick with Paul's two. That you play a role, and that together we are the church. I still say why. I read this passage, I prepare this message, and my last question to myself was, okay, why? Like, cool, Paul, but why does this matter so much? What's the point of the church? Why show up on a Sunday or a Wednesday? Why go to a community group? Why have a vision statement? Why have a place in the pew? Why, Paul? Why should it matter to me if so-and-so leads a Bible study or doesn't? Or if Matt Shaver chooses to play guitar or doesn't? Does it matter? To which I'll just borrow from the lips of Jesus. I want to read to you a little section out of John 17. Where Jesus addresses this very question of why the body, the church, is so important. As he's praying before he dies with his disciples, he prays this. He prays for those who will believe, us, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What a great prayer. Jesus wants us together to experience the same kind of unity that he has with the Father. Equal concern, unity, love. And then as a body, he wants us to experience that kind of intimacy with the Trinity, that we would have that with them. And then he tells us why, because it's a wonderful gift to have that as a body of Christ, to show up to church and feel like I love you and I know you and you love me and you know me. But it's a gift with a purpose. And the purpose is this, that the watching world would know Jesus. That's why we exist. In fact, your new mission statement affirms this fact. First Press, you are a church for the whole city, that it would know Jesus. So what would it mean today if we chose, you know what, in this new chapter at First Press, I really want to live this out. If we said, you know what, we need to make this happen. Equal concern and unity. How do I do it? Because I want the watching world, I want my friends and coworkers, I want the youth to know Jesus. Well, here's one thing I think it'll mean. It would mean that the notion that 20% of the congregation do 80% of the work would be fiction. Wonderful fiction. Wonderful fiction. That every part of the body would be playing its vital role, would be valued by the members. It would mean things like church-based job creation, utilizing all the powerful skills of our businessmen and women. It would mean a fundraising budget or a missions budget that is just outrageously large, such that we fuel the work of missions abroad and here locally. Can you imagine? Put some imaginative effort into thinking about what would happen if this body of Christ, the body of Christ assembled here at First Press, operated with all parts firing on all cylinders, to mix metaphors. What would it mean? What do you imagine it would mean? Even this morning, as I was like feeling queasy from, oh my goodness, I have to stand up there. I had so many people encouraging me and praying for me. Imagine the hospitality outpouring. Imagine community groups that invite neighbors into places where they can encounter the love of Christ. Because that's the mystery of what Paul's talking about, as we are the body of Christ, the church. Why does he say body of Christ? It's a weird thing to say. I think it's because we are literally the hands and feet of our risen Lord, such that when I have a meal at my home and invite my neighbor into my home, they're going to encounter Jesus in flesh. In every work of service, word of wisdom, word of encouragement, word of knowledge, in every healing gesture, in every prayer, in every preached word, in the work of evangelism, they're going to encounter our risen Lord, the love of Christ. Ultimately, I think if we live this passage out, it's going to mean people knowing Jesus at the end of the day. That's actually how my friend May, the friend of Elizabeth, came to know Jesus. Elizabeth just faithfully invited her friend week after week, come to the club. And May would show up and we'd have pizza and fun and a message. And that's where May encountered loving volunteers like Tatiana. And she encountered Youth for Christ staff like myself who would preach God's word. And at the end of the day, she encountered a moment where she could give herself eternally to Jesus, and she did. Her story will always be different because a group of people got together as the body of Christ at McLean High School. And then my friend Tatiana, a week later, like I was saying, I had to meet up with her and find out how it went. Well, I showed up, and the first thing she said to me was, "I'm so glad you made me do that." I was like, "Really? Awesome. Why?" She said, "Well, I thought this was going to be an internship where I just pushed papers and never got to spend time with kids. But I appreciated the little 3 weeks that we had, but most of all, the trust you showed in saying, get in the game." And I was thinking, that's great. I mean, she led a successful Youth for Christ Bible study that day, and that's always good. But I want to point out what God did when Tatiana opened herself up to being used as a part of the body of Christ at McLean. Tatiana would be the one God would use when a girl shared about the pain in her broken family. Tatiana took a knee, gave her a hug, said, "It's going to be okay, honey. Can I pray for you?" Tatiana was the one to take two girls to church, to her Ukrainian church from McLean High School. Talk about cross-cultural ministry. And Tatiana would be the one in the parking lot after the lunch bell had rung with a group of girls still hanging on, just wanting someone to listen to them and love them. Do you see what God was doing? They were encountering Christ in McLean's club, that those girls might know Jesus. First Press, let's be the church Jesus prayed for. Let's be the church that Jesus prayed for, that while we live with equal concern, that while we are unified, that then the watching world would encounter our risen Lord. Let's pray. Father God, may this be a church that exemplifies this passage of a unified body with all of its vital parts active. Father, would this body and this season of life be a magnet for those that need to know Jesus, from our business community downtown, from the neighborhoods of our community groups? Jesus, would people come to know you because First Press said we love each other and we love Jesus and we're going to use our gifts. Your name we pray. Amen.